Welcome to Boiling Point, the podcast to motivate ever-evolving entrepreneurs and forward-thinking movement pioneers. Our hosts, filmmaker Greg Hemmings and executive coach Dave Vail, are turning up the heat in the world's business communities. Our interviews with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers are raising the temperature of inspiration. Live from the hottest studio in this quadrant of the universe, here are Dave and Greg.
Mr. Hemmings.
Mr. Vail, how you doing, man?
Very well, very well.
Yeah.
You know where I wish I was, though?
Sea doing.
Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
It's a fun town.
I should learn how to sing Elvis a little bit better, shouldn't I?
Yeah, that would work. But
I've spent a lot of time in Vegas, actually. Always for conferences, though. Mm-hmm. I went to a concert there once as well. A really cool music festival in the desert. But I've never just gone to Vegas to go
just to
gambling
Vegas
and partying. It's I guess, not my thing. But that always comes as a secondary when you go to conferences there. And especially, have you ever had chocolate in Vegas?
You know, I can't say I have.
Okay, well, you gotta try it, especially Newfoundland chocolate, Dave. Okay, sorry. I'm leading this introduction so well. So, Brent Smith, welcome to the Boiling Point.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Great to be here. Where are you coming from, in case the guests or the listeners don't know?
Coming from and calling from.
Yeah. So, no, I am in Vegas. My first time here. I'm here for a trade show, and I haven't even actually been down to the Strip yet. I'm not a casino kind of guy either. Now, I did see the Doobie Brothers last night, though. That was kind of cool.
Oh, fantastic, man! Listen, the Doobies are one of those bands that will they'll never stop playing. Number one, and number two, they're tight. Yeah. They're as tight as they ever were now. Like, what was your favorite moment of the Doobie Brothers concert?
Well, no, they sounded good right through. Now, it was, you know, it was at the trade show, so I mean, you know, it wasn't their wildest crowd I'm sure they've ever played to. You know, what I thought was funny was when they came on stage, there was a whole bunch of 60-plus-year-old men, you know, sort of jammed in front of the stage. And, I mean, 30 years ago, that would have been all young girls. It would have been, screaming from the crowd. But how times change.
It was a different kind of mosh pit.
A different kind of mosh
pit. It was a pretty tame mosh pit, that's for sure.
So Brent, what would take a CCO or a chief chocolate officer from Newfoundland to Vegas? Like, what kind of a trade show are you at?
And why aren't we there?
Why didn't you invite us?
Yeah, no, it's called Pack Expo. It's a big packaging show. So we're looking to introduce a little technology into our chocolate bar wrapping systems, so this show is it's got everything here, man. I mean, it really makes your head spin when you're walking around Just sorting through all the plethora of options that are out there,
and we're talking about Vegas, or we're talking about the trade show.
That's what I was going to say about Vegas. Is Vegas can make the most mundane thing, like a packaging show, one of the most epically, universally fun things. There's something,
including the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah. No, that's going to be opposite.
The place is off the rack, right? I mean, it's my first time here. You know, you see it portrayed in movies all the time, and you kind of think, yeah, I mean, you know, I wonder if it's exaggerated, but it's not. It's just an absolute onslaught to the senses. The other night, driving in from the airport to the hotel, I was at a stoplight, and a guy pulls up beside me, and this massive stretch convertible. I don't know what this thing once was, but it had a set of horns on the front of the grill. It was like, man, you know, you can't make this stuff up. It's just, you know, that's it's,
and, that, it's, and that's it's, when the win, that's when the window rolled down, a big Uzi came out of it, and then you said, ho ho, yeah. wait a minute, I'm from Newfoundland and I got some chocolate. Let's introduce you, Brent. Like, tell us about a little bit more about who you are and Also, of course, the phenomenal Newfoundland Chocolate Company, which Dave and I are both happy consumers of your products. So, but our listeners are from all over the place. So, yeah, this is your chance to shine and tell your story, Brent. So go for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, pretty modest roots. I mean, we got our start, Christina and I, so we're a true family business. My wife, Christina Dove, and myself, we started this thing up. We're coming up to our 10th year. It started as a hobby. The impetus behind it was that we both really loved great chocolates, and there just wasn't a lot of options in St. John's when we were grad students together at Munn back in the day. And our little affordable indulgence on the weekends was to go down to a little spot called Auntie Cray's, a beautiful little shop. It used to be down on Water Street, and they'd bring in some really nice imported chocolate from France and Belgium, and that would be our, you know, as poor grad students, that would be our little luxury. We'd split an $8 or $9 chocolate bar, but you know, there wasn't anything local being made of that caliber. And so it started off as a hobby in the basement, and as it grew, and you know, the business idea started to sort of, you know, come into focus in terms of, well, you know, geez, if you know, we can't be the only ones that are you know, hungry for a great local chocolate. Then we put the brand together, and that's a big part of our story, is the Newfoundland part of the brand and the big why. But you know, it's about different. I mean, you set different goals, and I somebody asked me just a few weeks back. I was at this thing, and they said, you know, did you envision, you know, being where you are? I said, geez, not a chance. I mean, the first goal was I was working at I was working with Easter Seals, a great local charity. Christina was a researcher at Munn, you know, we were paying the mortgage and getting groceries on the table. But we have two kids, Noah and Michael. They were, you know, quite young at the time, and we were at that stage in life where we said, you know what. We've got to get the boys to Disney World. You know, it's just something that every young family seems compelled to do. And we just couldn't swing it financially. And then so the chocolate initially was, you know, that was the first goal. We said, geez, you know, what if we could sell enough of this chocolate to, you know, to get the kids down to Disney next spring? That was it. That was the first vision for the company, was, you know, to make a couple of grand off it and go down to Disney World, which we did get. And but you know, from there it's January 1st, 2008, that was a key milestone in the company, because that was the first time that I woke up that morning without a paycheck for the first time in a long time. And as we had decided after we ran the company that Christmas, as we were strictly wholesale then, we were selling to a couple of stores in the St. John's area. And that first, you know, Christmas season, that first 3 or 4 months, I mean, it was crazy. We were you know, getting up in the morning, getting the kids ready for daycare and stuff, going to our jobs, coming back, getting them to bed, and then we'd make chocolate in the evening, and then we'd be up until 3 a.m. most mornings, just, you know, making chocolate and putting it in boxes, and then I'd fire it off to the stores the next morning. And it was I was hooked. You know, that was my first real taste of entrepreneurship, and you know, I just absolutely loved it. But you know, waking up without a paycheck for the first time on that New Year's morning was exhilarating. Horrifying, but accelerating at the same time.
Well, and did that begin the retail side of the business at that point?
Yeah, well, now from there, I mean, we grew the business then through wholesale accounts. We had at one point accounts across the country, and we were running out of space in the basement. We had people hired on, and we were breaking all kinds of municipal bylaws with the number of employee is working out of her basement. And so the next move was to buy a building and our focus at that point was we just needed a bigger place to produce because we were out of capacity and just had to get the operation out of the basement. So we bought a building down on Duckworth Street, and it's funny, you know, because it wasn't our first choice. I wasn't even looking at a downtown location initially. I was looking out at industrial parks and things, because I was just thinking factory. I was just thinking, we're not that kind of factory, but I was just thinking, production space. Mm-hmm. And when we found the place down on Duckworth Street in St. John's, the retail piece of it was just an afterthought at the time. It was, we've got this retail store that's here, let's turn it into a chocolaterie and hopefully it'll help pay the mortgage. And we opened the doors just before Christmas, and within a couple of weeks we said, oh man, we've had this wrong the whole time. This, what we thought was the business isn't the business. Retail is this is what we need to be doing. And
that is so interesting. So you actually kind of fell into it versus, strategically putting a retail, spot in a particular area. And then, it was one of these things that, as I'm listening to you, it's like it was almost like this wonderful, serendipitous experience, really.
Exactly, Matt. Because, as a production facility, it's terrible. I mean, it's a 200-year-old building on three levels and stairs up and down. And I mean, you'd never choose it for that. But I love the charm of the place. And from the beginning, we said, okay, let's create a landmark, destination. So we put this massive chocolate mural on the side of the building, and we got a chocolate mermaid, this full size, like 7-foot chocolate mermaid, painted her up chocolate and put her outside and dripping chocolate off the building and that. And, that location became, it became the brand. When we did our branding a couple of years later, our rebranding, that little row house that's our chocolate factory, that is right on our logo now.
Nice. Well, let's talk about that, because that's a really, for Greg and I, a very interesting topic, for anyone actually, probably in business. But this idea, like, what, and it clearly you intuitively or naturally had a sense of brand and building a brand. Tell us about your brand and as well as building a brand and what's required and the reason for the probably the mm-hmm. name of the company and the location and everything you're doing, like how that all comes together.
Sure. The brand's evolved. It's when we started off, the niche that we saw was gourmet artisan chocolate. And so we were pretty serious about that in the first couple of years. It's our brand, the tagline was exactly that, gourmet artisan chocolates. The packaging was very sort of dark and subtle and decadent looking. There wasn't a lot of whimsy in the brand. There wasn't a lot of fun in the brand. That came later when we realized we could let our hair down a little bit and really be the Newfoundland chocolate company. And that ties in with the big why for us. And that's when we discovered a couple of years in, why are we really doing this? And it wasn't as much about the chocolate as it was about the name. And because day one, when we said, okay, we want to be the Newfoundland Chocolate Company, we felt a sense of responsibility around that. We said, okay, well, if we're going to be the Newfoundland Chocolate Company, we can't be serving up crap here. I mean, this has got to be some pretty damn good chocolate. I mean, we're going to be ambassadors of a place, and we're representing not just Brent and Christina, but we're representing this place that we love. And so that's big why for us of, this is about storytelling. This is about bringing Newfoundland and Labrador to the world, and doing it by making this freaking awesome chocolate that's got wicked packaging and tells stories and really represents the East Coast and Newfoundland, you know, specifically. So as the brand evolved out of that strictly, you know, it started off sort of confined by this. Yeah, we have to be the most delicious chocolate in the world. Something we learned along the way is, man, don't build your business based on those kinds of commodity statements, because you can't win. I mean, you know, I our chocolate is awesome, but you know, I can't say we make the best chocolate in the world. It's a lot of people make great chocolate. You know, we make a really special chocolate, and we don't use any of the preservatives or additives, and you know, they're pure chocolate. We're not exclusive in that. But where we can carve out that exclusivity is, and yet we're the Newfoundland Chocolate Company, and this is that the brand is about this celebration of place, and the chocolate and the packaging tells a story of the place. So, you know, from the basic recipes of the chocolate, from day one, we said, okay, you know, we're only going to make what we love ourselves. I think back to being a kid when granny would bring that box of pot of gold out and we'd dive in, and in our family, it was, you're looking for the nuts and the caramels and then those bloody, orange cream.
I thought I was the only one that felt that way. Because literally, you'd be just like, which one is the one that, you know, has, like you said, the nuts and, you know what I mean? And the chocolate fudge in it. And then you get one of those ones and it has that orange kind of, man.
Somebody's grandmother probably likes it, but like nobody else.
You know what it's like? It's like Christmas cake.
Yes.
Nobody likes
Christmas cake.
All right. Well, I'm so happy, Brent, that you had the same experience.
And you got this box of chocolates there, and you know, that half of them have, you know, a bite out of them. I mean,
that happened too.
But anyway, so we said, okay, you know, we're going this, you know, the, from the flavors to the brand, this has to be a celebration of place. And so, you know, we use a lot of Newfoundland wild berries in our chocolates, and we you know, philosophically we say, okay, but we're not putting anything on the label that our mothers, our grandmothers wouldn't know what it is, right? So it's you know, we're not getting into the, you know, the crazy preservatives and these wacky creams and this stuff. Keep it simple, you know. It's what goes great with chocolate. You know, roasted almond goes awesome with chocolate. You know, caramel goes amazing with chocolate. A wild blueberry coated in milk chocolate is fantastic. You know, it doesn't need to be complicated to be delicious. And then the brand itself when we really embrace the humor of what is the Newfoundland culture, then, you know, the brand got a lot more fun, and we got away from the gourmet artisan chocolates, and you know, it's now we've, you know, the chocolate bars are you know, they're hand painted, you know, colorful row houses from downtown St. John's, and at Easter time we name our bunnies after various Newfoundland premiers, our biggest bunny we call the Great Big Bunny instead of after the Great Big C, and you know, we start to have more fun and invoke more color in the brand, and that's where we are now. Is seriously great chocolate, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. So, you know, kind of like Newfoundland itself.
So, Brent, there's a couple other things I want to go over, but we're actually really close to ending our time, which means we have to bring you.
Oh,
back.
Shoot!
We have to bring you on again soon. One thing is, I'm going to be in St. John's in a couple of weeks, and then for one night, and then Buena Vista the second night. So who knows? Maybe I can come have some samples with you in person.
Love to.
We'll figure that out offline. Number two, just as a discussion point, one of the things that I really appreciated was receiving, you know, I've met you a couple of times, but, you know,
yeah,
you've joined the Wallace McCain Institute fraternity, if you will, and I'm assuming I wasn't the only blessed one to receive a box of your chocolate.
No.
with a personal note.
Just you and I.
Just you and I, Dave. And
right, Brent?
That's how we ended up on the podcast.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me. I was like, the power of a handwritten note and just that little idea of sending people a basic old school sample and a gift and whatever.
Yeah, with a nice message.
With a nice message.
Entrepreneurism.
It's the most simple part of marketing that nobody does, to the point that I'm talking about it right now in our podcast. So as a real quick wrap up, because we are running out of time.
Yeah.
And then after your wrap up, tell people how to get a hold of you and buy your chocolate too. As a quick wrap up, give us one bit of great down home, down east, Newfoundland marketing advice.
It's about building that relationship, and people love the stories, and just, you know, open up your hearts and let people get to know who you are. The best things we do in marketing haven't been the things that are, you know, well planned out. All right, did you hear about the big Chase the Ace thing that was going on here in Newfoundland a couple of weeks ago?
No, it sounds awesome though.
Okay, well, it was this massive thing, Chase the Ace. There's $2 million jackpot in this little community outside of St. John's. And so we you know, spur of the moment, it was the last day of it. They said, okay, this is it for Chase the Ace. School's starting. We've got to shut this thing down. There was 50,000 people that were crowded into the community of Goulds, Newfoundland. So, you know, it which probably has a population of about 1,000. And we said, okay, you know what? Let's go give them chocolate. And you know, like, there's people in a 5-hour lineup to get their tickets for this ridiculous church, you know, charity lottery. And so we packed a bunch of us into the chocolate mobile, and we zipped down there, and we gave out chocolate in the lineup. And it was you know, people absolutely loved it, because it was just us being us. It was just, you know, we were going around and meeting people and giving them a piece of chocolate and say, "Bye, you know, good luck in the draw, and you've been here 3 hours already. Hopefully you'll get to the front soon." So it's you know, I think that's the new marketing is just showing them your heart, and for us in Newfoundland, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, the new marketing is the old marketing, and I think that's the lesson. That's the takeaway. There's no parking lots on this one, guys. The takeaway is the new marketing is the old marketing. Open up your hearts, and it's relationship based. Awesome, Brent. Yeah. And Brent, how do people buy the chocolate who are not necessarily on the rock?
Yeah, great. So we've got a store on our website. So that's www.newfoundlandchocolatecompany.com. That'll take you to our Twitter and Facebook and all those other links as well. We'd love to hear from anyone, and really appreciate the time, guys.
Brent, enjoy Vegas, my friend, and make sure, whatever you do, do not take your attorney on a road trip to the desert outside of Vegas, and stay away from all illicit drugs, okay?
Will do.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Brent. Okay, buddy, we'll talk to you later, man.
Okay.
Thanks, Brent. Take care, man.
Bye-bye. Sometimes I make these weird pop culture references that probably I only understand.
Well, but you wrapped it up and let us all know what you were referencing. And for some of us that are kind of familiar with pop culture, we go, oh, okay, I heard of that. I saw Johnny Depp was in that movie.
Yeah, good, man. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas was a book that I
read. Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes.
Good for you, Dave.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was an interesting cat.
And by the way, Hunter S. Thompson was a great, famed sports writer. As well. So he wrote all these insane counterculture books, but he also wrote for many, many years sports columns. So kind of a, you know, no wonder, you know.
It's kind of integration of everything. What an interesting guy.
Brent's a great guy. And he's such a Newfoundland soul.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And then for people, that listeners that maybe aren't from Canada, aren't familiar with Newfoundland, they should really look up Newfoundland, because it's a fascinating place. And, you know, he speaks, you know, I think he is a true Newfoundlander.
Yeah,
and we called earlier. We got the backup number, and this woman with this beautiful accent, Newfoundland accent, answered, you know, as his backup. So, and the chocolates are delish, and you don't have to worry about, or at least I never experienced having the, you know, kind of the orange filling when I was going through my box, which is just, I thought it was just me. So it's good to know.
No, I was with you, buddy. And especially the stale ones that were just sitting there for a while.
I got to say, when he was talking about, you know, roasted almonds and goes to, like, I'm getting a little hungry.
Well, I do have some Yip Cider here.
I might have to partake.
We'll see you next week. Next week, Dave, we've got a very special comeback of the Olympian variety.
Yes.
Do you want to give us a quick little hint?
No. Okay. No, just that it's a nice teaser. It was a great first conversation. Two-time Olympic gold medalist.
And two-time Boiling Point guest.
Yes, which we'll have to...
remind her. Oh, yeah. There, we gave you lots of hints there. Okay, on that note, have a good one.
See you
later.
We'll
talk to you soon, man. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Boiling Point. Remember to rate and subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Boiling Point Pod. To see more from Dave Vail, check out leadershipunleashed.ca or visioncoachinginc.com. And on Twitter at Dave_Vail. And to catch up with Greg, visit hemmingshouse.com and at Greg Hemmings on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep that pot boiling.
Hi, this is Candace Sampson, the voice behind What She Said. My show is your destination for stories that not only entertain, but also educate and empower. Every week, I spotlight strong female voices from across Canada, women who are changing the narrative and driving change. Don't miss out on these inspiring episodes. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, or head over to whatshesaidtalk.com.
What She Said can also be heard on blasttheradio.com, Mondays at 5 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. That's blasttheradio.com.
It's time to dive into the stories that truly matter.